Time to get our view from the middle, though today he's on site near the Magic Kingdom. I mentioned he was in OKC for an historic first 4 days. Online, usatoday.com. Follow on Twitter, at George Schroeder. Welcome in, George Schroeder. How you doing, George? George. I sense...
Okay. Hello.
Hey, George.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I'm on the court.
Oh, really?
At what used to be known as the pond in Anaheim, where the Mighty Ducks of Eugene are about to come out.
Nice. And a little connection there with the Mighty Ducks from the movie, a little Emilio Estevez. I see what you did there.
A little Anaheim, Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, right?
Yeah, I got you. I'm one of the few real hockey fans in Eugene, so we're on the same page. Man,
yep.
George, you've been to your fair share of events, but from buzzer beaters to collapses, Oregon State back in the dance, that Friday and Sunday you witnessed, that was some pretty unique stuff, wasn't it?
Well, it really was. First of all, you know, I have to tell you, I think Oregon State is a team that could have been in the second round. I don't think they're good enough to be in the Sweet 16, but they could have been in the second round. But there is a learning curve that is fairly steep if you haven't been there before, and it sounds like there shouldn't be one, but I think there is. And I think sometimes when a program is unused to the NCAA tournament, and obviously that's Oregon State's case, sometimes the other program gets you, and I think that's what happened to them in the first round. But I know what you're referring to, obviously, is we had a nutty half-court shot from Northern Iowa. You know, we had the unbelievable 14-2 rally by Texas A&M in the final 33 seconds of the game to beat Northern Iowa. It was just a crazy weekend in Oklahoma City. And I'm going to walk off the court because the Oregon pep band has started up, and I know you can hear it in the background.
That's awesome. So you mentioned Oregon State. They're taking on VCU, of course. Shaka Smart moved to Texas. They hired Will Wade, who was one of his former assistants. So while he does not duplicate that Havoc style, he certainly hasn't dissolved it. And in the end, you mentioned it earlier, you think that familiarity with being in the tournament was maybe an important difference for the Rams?
I do think that. I mean, I think that's a big deal. Those guys, not only are they personally seasoned in having been at the tournament, I think this is their sixth year in a row. So that means everybody on the roster, unless you're a first-year guy, has been there before. But there's a culture that's in a locker room and knowing how to do it. And the upperclassmen have been there, and you know, and they teach the younger guys. And there's a culture that grows up there. But also, I think a program that's had success like going to the Final Four. And I know that's been a long time, and none of those guys were there when they went to the Final Four in 2011. But it's the kind of thing that you become sort of an expected part of your program to make runs in the NCAA tournament. You may not always do it, but you know you can. And I think that's an important thing. It was important for them in that first-round game.
We've talked about Oklahoma this year. Obviously a prominent team, Buddy Hield, coached by Lon Kruger. Their first game, they beat Cal State Bakersfield by 14. But, man, that 15 seed had the lead in the second half, were within a couple of buckets in the last 5 minutes. I mean, while folks might be focused on Michigan State maybe going down as a two, they gave the Sooners a little bit of a scare, didn't they?
Well, they sure did. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of those games where Oklahoma seemed to have it under control, could never quite put it away, and then all of a sudden you look up and VCU had actually taken the lead with about 7 minutes left, and it easily could have gone the other way. And that's the way March is. And if you're a one or a two or a three or whatever, you've got to deal with the fact that the other teams, first of all, they're good, and secondly, they're going to play better sometimes than they really are because it's an all-out abandon type of situation. And I think the Sooners definitely had to deal with that. I'll tell you what you did see there was you saw why Buddy Hield is a lot of people's pick for National Player of the Year because he, quite frankly, put Oklahoma on his back and scored 19 of the last 22. And, you know, you don't really see that very often.
No, he was terrific. The finale Friday that everybody saw, that started with a missed foul shot. Then Northern Iowa could have been up three to tie it. And aside from U.S. Reed of Arkansas back in 81, what we saw from Paul Jesperson in the half quarter, curious, what was your angle? And could you just explain the reaction and the emotion of the moment in that arena?
Well, look, first of all, everybody gets after everybody loves an underdog in the NCAA tournament. So if you're unattached, then you're rooting for the underdog. And by the way, I would like to say that in Oklahoma City, given the fact that there were Texas A&M fans in the building and Oklahoma fans in the building, not a lot of love for Texas probably from the other teams.
Sure.
From the fans of the other teams. But so you put all that together, I actually think Northern Iowa probably would have won in overtime. But when Jesperson hit that half-court shot to win it, it was, I jumped out of my seat, and I think everybody in the building jumped out of the seat, and it was an unbelievable moment. It's what it's all about.
We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. Then came Northern Iowa, Texas A&M. For openers, as a reporter, I guess you kind of have your story. The 11 beats the 3, on to the Sweet 16. So beyond the players and coaches, what are you thinking as you're watching this unbelievable collapse unfold?
Well, it happened so fast that it was hard to believe. You weren't really sure it was actually going to happen, that it was really happening. That's the biggest thing. From a personal standpoint, I was on deadline. I was about to hit the button on a send that said Northern Iowa didn't need a three-pointer to win at this time. They didn't need a half-court shot to win it. They had a pretty solid win over a good Texas A&M team. And then all of a sudden it just sort of, melted away in 30 seconds. I don't even know how to describe it. I've seen it now live and in person and several different times on video, and it's still hard to imagine that it happened. That they couldn't suddenly, the more composed team, the better team, 39 minutes and 30 seconds, all of a sudden couldn't get the ball in bounds correctly. All of a sudden couldn't get the ball up court. All of a sudden was allowing layups and three-pointers that they hadn't given up all game. Now, I get this. I do understand that the first couple of points were just, I'm not going to foul this guy. We're up 12, we're up 10, we're up 8. We're just going to let him score. But so many things had to go wrong for Northern Iowa and right for Texas A&M for them to have any shot at all. It's just amazing that it did.
Now, in the piece you actually finally got to write about it, the Texas A&M players, they forced that trap and steal. What did Tony Trocha-Morelos and Admin Gilder have to say about what was kind of going through their heads at the end? Because one of them, it seemed like, wasn't exactly sure of the circumstance.
Well, first of all, they're both pretty heady. Let's say two things about this. One, it was a pretty rugged trap. And if you'd have been an official who was in the mood to, he could have called a foul. And
right.
He didn't, and that's fine. It was a very aggressive, clean trap. But then once they didn't call anything, then the young man, Wes Washburn, who's the best player for Northern Iowa, a really smart point guard, then he tried to throw it off of their legs and out of bounds, which is, by the way, the second time somebody tried to do that. It didn't work the first time either in that whole sequence.
Right.
Both of those guys anticipated that move and backed up. And, Gilder was able to get the ball and score. So he took it directly to the rim and scored. It wasn't the easiest layup of all time. But the question you asked was, the other kid thought they were – nobody knew what the score was. Even A&M. The other kid thought they were down three. So he's like going, no. They're down two. And so, in fact, he thought after the score they're still down one. So he was up tight on the inbounder trying to pressure. There was about a second and a half left, 1.7, something like that. And they had to wave him back and tell him no. And that's when, at some point, he figured out they were tied. So, these guys were just playing as hard as they could. Credit to them. In what seemed like a hopeless situation, they really had lost track of how close they were to getting it back.
Man, never seen anything like that.
You
on Twitter commented, Oklahoma State hired a new basketball coach, Brad Underwood of Stephen F. Austin, longtime assistant at Kansas State. So I guess you seem to have a knowledge. What do you know about him that makes him such a wise hire for a team you're very close to?
Well, I don't pretend to know him very well. He has a big-time good reputation among coaches. And, look, he doesn't have a long experience, as a head coach. But in preseason, Stephen F. Austin, all they've done is won their conference, the Southland, every year. Now, you can say, oh, well, that's not a very good conference. But, you know, it's all relative. You're winning your conference. It's not like you brought Duke in to win the Southland Conference. You're winning it with Stephen F. Austin, right? They're
right.
A Southland Conference team. Then you've gone to the tournament, and you've made a little bit of noise. And, look, I know every year we see somebody, it seems like, get hired after a burst in the tournament, and they came out of nowhere, and it either works or doesn't work. Sometimes it does or doesn't. That's not who this guy is. He's got a real solid reputation. The other thing I would say about him is he's from small-town Kansas, Smallville, not really, McPherson, Kansas, and because Superman's the only one from Smallville.
Gotcha.
But he played at Kansas State, and I think that at a place like Oklahoma State, a fit is more important than it is in other places. Kansas State and Oklahoma State are very similar. And so I actually think he'll have a feel for what the culture is in Stillwater, even though he doesn't really have any real ties there. And so I think it was a really good hire. We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, just from the outset, I think that was a big upgrade, and it gives them a chance to sort of return that program to what it's been, you know, over the last 25 years.
Sure, the Big Country Reeves days. We continue with George
Schroeder.
Went
to the Final Four a dozen years ago, too, you know, yep. Long after him. So, you know, under Eddie Sutton, they were really good.
Let's continue with George Schroeder and Oregon. I said after they beat Arizona in Tucson in late January, this is the best Duck team I ever saw. Now it's a matter of seeing if they accomplish the most. But I'll tell you what, George, if you're a program looking to etch itself as legit and kind of now a regular atop the Pac-12, could you possibly see facing more of a legitimate proving ground than playing Duke in the Sweet 16?
No, and I'd say two things about that. One is I'm a little surprised that it's a 10:07 Eastern tip time, because I think I would have thought they would have thought Duke would move the needle back that direction. It might have been the earlier game. So that's a little weird, but you're exactly right. Beating a Duke brings legitimacy. And what's good for the Ducks in this case is, and you know, who knows what will happen here, but what's good for the Ducks in this case is this is Duke on the front of the jerseys, but this doesn't feel like one of those Duke teams to me.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're not concerned about the name on the front of the jerseys, and by the way, if you're Oregon, you shouldn't be concerned about it, because you basically had your way with Arizona. If you're not concerned with the name on the front of the jersey, then this is a team you can beat. And I think Oregon is built to do that. They're much deeper than a very thin Duke team. Oregon's very versatile. They throw a bunch of guys out there at you that sort of look similar in terms of length and what they can do. And I think that's a good combination against this particular Duke team. So I think they have a big opportunity to at least get to the Elite Eight, where I think, frankly, either Oklahoma or A&M will be a tougher matchup for them if they get there.
Oh, interesting.
Doesn't mean they won't win it, but I think you look at the seeds. Wouldn't you say that the one or the three would be tougher than the four? I think the seeds are correct in this regional.
Yeah, and by the way, interestingly enough,
two or the three, excuse me.
Yeah, you're watching the only region that ran true to form. I mean,
right.
You know, you got Buddy Hield, the player of the year, a blue blood program, the lone banner carrier from the Pac-12, the miracle workers from the Aggies. I mean, there's no way to tell, but man, it seems like you're about to see a masterpiece of a couple games.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you know, look, sometimes the games don't match. You know, sometimes it's better when they're not seeded, but I kind of like the fact that the chalk won out here, because I think these are the right four teams to be playing in this. You know, there's no gigantic upset that leads to a weird mismatch in week two, which we sometimes see in the Sweet 16 level. This is the way the committee thought it should go, and we'll see if they're right.
All right. Hey, George, I appreciate you being mobile here and moving on court and off court and avoiding the pep squad. Enjoy it. I think you're going to see some great ball. Always appreciate your time, and travel safe and catch up next week.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I hope so. Thanks, man.
All right. Take it easy.